Next, we turn our attention to West Virginia, where all three seats in the House of Representatives will be on the ballot, as well as a U.S. Senate seat. Then there are 17 of 34 state Senate seats, all 100 seats in the House of Delegates, 5 constitutional officers, and the governor's seat, also up for grabs. Saying all that out loud really makes me realize how much there is to pay attention to here in West Virginia in 2020. But of all those races, there's one that's challenging party dynamics, both between Republicans and Democrats, and internally for each of them. According to the Secretary of State's website, 18 people are running for governor against incumbent Republican Jim Justice. Justice has often been compared to President Donald Trump. He's a billionaire, for one thing. But in other ways, Justice is completely unique. He was elected as a Democrat, but switched to the Republican Party only 7 months into his term. And this is one reason both the Republican and Democratic parties are facing an identity crisis in West Virginia as they head into the 2020 gubernatorial election. In this two-part story, independent producer Kyle Vass takes us through how each party is gearing up.
Normally, gubernatorial incumbents don't have to worry about being challenged from within their own party. But with 6 Republican candidates challenging Governor Jim Justice in 2020, this race is anything but normal. To understand why the incumbent governor, a Republican, has such a large field of Republican candidates running against him, we have to go back to 2017 when Governor Jim Justice switched parties. Former Wood County GOP Chairman Rob Cornelius explains what the mood was like among state Republicans when Justice announced his switch from Democrat to Republican.
It was unexpected because he had been such a down-the-line Democrat with Joe Manchin. No one was really excited about it. No one knew what to make of it.
Cornelius says he refused to start supporting the governor just because he had switched to his party. In fact, Cornelius went as far as to go to newly elected state GOP chairwoman Melody Potter. He wanted the state's GOP leadership to distance themselves from Justice.
Melody had pledged to me that she would be an independent person. She would not sell out to the now Republican governor. She believed he was corrupt and would be a bad person to have in the party, that he was dangerous to our reputation, our morals, and our standards, and she would have nothing to do with him.
And she had said this to you?
She said it on tape.
By tape, Cornelius means he was recording their conversation. He recorded it, believing Potter would later change her story. Almost a year after this conversation, when Melody Potter accepted a large donation to the state GOP from Justice and his wife, Rob Cornelius uploaded the conversation to YouTube. Shortly after that, Potter issued a letter firing Rob Cornelius in the interest of, quote, effective organization and party harmony, citing the state GOP bylaws. Cornelius says his firing created a precedent in the West Virginia GOP. Speak out against Justice or GOP leadership, and even an elected official could get fired. As a county chairman, Cornelius was elected, and just like that, he was gone. He's filed suit against Potter and the Secretary of State, Mac Warner, over his dismissal, and that case is ongoing. We reached out to Melody Potter, as well as Governor Justice's campaign, for multiple interview requests, but they had no comment. Cornelius is not the only Republican official claiming to have been fired by Justice's administration or GOP leadership for threatening the governor's power. One of them is now running his own campaign against the governor, Woody Thrasher.
I was accused of running for office, which is the last thing I ever wanted to do.
Thrasher was Justice's Commerce Secretary, but was fired in 2016. He's currently running the largest campaign in the Republican primary in terms of money raised. According to Justice's administration, Thrasher mishandled federal money earmarked for victims of the 2016 West Virginia flood. But Thrasher says these allegations aren't true.
That was purely a political move done by the governor and his campaign because they perceive me as a threat.
According to Thrasher and Cornelius, the schism forming in the West Virginia GOP that opposes Jim Justice is partly fueled by speculation that the governor has people fired for speaking out against him. But with 6 Republicans currently registered to run against Justice, the litany of concerns about Justice goes beyond what his accusers are calling unfair firings. Those 6 candidates, by the way, include Rebecca Moretta Henderson, Shelby Jane Fitzhugh, Charles R. Sheedy Sr., George Douglas VI, and former West Virginia House of Delegates member Mike Folk. In terms of fundraising, Mike Folk is running the 3rd largest campaign in the Republican primary. He's behind Thrasher and Justice, who are number one and two, respectively. Folk's platform is based on the idea that we need to stop relying on taxes to fund the state government.
Instead of going to the taxpayers for more money when the budget's tight, I think we ought to do like every household in West Virginia has to do, which is tighten their belt.
Folk's contribution to the Republican anti-justice schism is based on Justice not being fiscally conservative.
In 2017, when the current governor was new to office, he had campaigned on being a businessman that could balance the budget without raising taxes. He instead proposed the largest tax increase in West Virginia history. Most of the issues, whether it's free enterprise ideas, whether it's tax reform, you know, he campaigned against when he was a Democrat running for governor.
West Virginia Wesleyan College political science professor Rob Rupp says the way he interprets the crowded governor's race is that many people from both parties, frankly, have a hard time trusting Justice.
Perhaps Justice himself is indicative of what's happened to the breakdown of party labels.
Having a Republican governor in West Virginia is unusual. But what's really unusual is that same governor having to defend his position from candidates who are claiming to be even more Republican than he is.
He's alienated the Democrats by leaving his party allegiance, and he's distrusted by Republicans because of his recent conversion. And that's what's setting this up. The challenges, in a sense, are coming from the right.
As for challenges in the governor's race coming from the left, more on that in just a minute.
So as Kyle explained in that story, Republican Governor Jim Justice faces quite a bit of competition from within his own party. But this governor's race is actually not so odd. Because when you think about it, politics in West Virginia has become much more complicated than just being red or blue. Again, here's political science professor Rob Rupp.
You have to be able to explain why the state loves Trump and Bernie at the same time. There's a strong contingent of going against the establishment and the moderation that we've had for so long.
So how does that play into the governor's race in 2020? In this next part of the story, Kyle looks at how the Democratic primary is struggling with its own identity questions and how that may affect the election.
Democrats in West Virginia find themselves trying to displace a Republican governor for the first time in two decades. And with U.S. Senator Joe Manchin deciding not to come back and run for governor, a lot of questions remain as to who can take back the governor's mansion. As of now, six Democrats have stepped up to fill the power void created by Manchin's decision. Jody Murphy, Ben Salango, Cecil Silva, Edwin Vanover, Stephen Smith, and Ron Stallings. Stallings says he brings a lot of experience to the ticket with his three terms in the West Virginia State Senate.
I have about 13 and a half years of experience in the State Senate. I've been a physician here in my hometown for 34 years.
Stallings sees the other Democratic candidates as lacking the experience necessary to be governor.
None of them have any way anywhere near the experience that I have in public service or in real life.
Another candidate, Kanawha County Commissioner Ben Salango, says he's running because he wants to bring his experience with economic development to the governor's mansion.
So one of the main things that I've done as Kanawha County Commissioner is the Shawnee Sports Complex. It has brought in tens of millions of dollars in the sports tourism industry.
Both Stallings and Salango are very quick to distance themselves from Democrats at a national level. They want to make it clear that they are not down with what's going on at the DNC. Here's Stallings.
I have a proven track record of being a centrist, more socially and economically moderate than our Washington, D.C. friends.
And Salango?
I'm not far left. I'm more of a centrist. I am a moderate Democrat. People call it a West Virginia Democrat.
Political professor Rob Rupp explains what it means to be a West Virginia Democrat.
In West Virginia, when you're a Democrat in an increasingly conservative state, you do what I call the West Virginia Democrat two-step, which is you're taking a step away from the national party. And that's just a self-selective process of a step toward moderation in Democratic politics, particularly in the last 15 to 20 years.
And then you have community organizer Stephen Smith, who is a West Virginian and a Democrat. But don't call him a West Virginia Democrat.
What you see in West Virginia politics is either people sell their soul to big corporate interests and lobbyists and PACs, or they're already a rich guy who's made a bunch of money off of the backs of other folks, and they put their own money in the race.
Smith's campaign raised a record-breaking amount in small donations for a West Virginia gubernatorial candidate. And he sees his race for governor as just one race in the West Virginia Can't Wait campaign that he helped start. They're currently backing 58 candidates in various elections around the state.
What we need are candidates at every level of office and a politics that responds to everyday working people, not to the wealthy few. And we can have that government, but only if all of us come together and only if we stop waiting on some politician, any politician, to come and save us.
Smith is really mobilizing Democrats, getting a lot of small contributions. Usually in West Virginia politics, it wouldn't work. The populist candidate makes a challenge but usually doesn't win. But of course, these are not usual times, and Smith is not running a usual campaign.
Professor Rupp sees an identity crisis in both parties, but he sees the Republican one as short term and the Democratic one as a potentially defining moment for years to come.
For the Republicans, it's championing a questionable candidate in terms of his party resume. So their question is, can they rally around and make sure that Justice gets reelected and the Republicans held on to the governor's mansion? For the Democrats, it's more a strategic long range. Where are they going to bank their future? On the populist emphasis of Smith, or a more moderate and traditional one? And the argument for the Democrats is not just about this election, it's about the next three elections. And the Republicans are just saying how they want to stay in power.
In other words, Rupp says that the Democrats are taking a long, hard look to decide what their party platform is before moving forward. Meanwhile, Republicans are deciding who is best suited to maintain control of their newly claimed gubernatorial seat. For Inside Appalachia, I'm Kyle Vass.
According to a West Virginia Metro News poll released late last year, Governor Justice holds a commanding lead in the Republican primary. The poll says 56% support Justice, 21% support Thrasher, and 11% are backing Folk. In the Democratic primary, things are much less clear. According to another poll from West Virginia Metro News, 42% of likely Democratic voters aren't sure who they'll pick at the ballot box. But between the top three candidates, things seem neck and neck as of right now. 21% express support for Stephen Smith, 19% favor Senator Stallings, and 18% say they're behind Salango. Of course, those numbers may change as the campaign intensifies and as we get closer to the May 12th primary. At that point, we'll know who will secure each party's nomination to square off in November.